Father, we thank you. We thank you that you were willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice for us. There's no one else that offers that. That offers to pay for our sins. That offers to send his son to the cross to die for us. But not to remain dead, but to defeat the grave and rise again victorious. There is no one else who offers that. And I just praise you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And I pray this morning that we would get to know you more than we do already. Whether that's a first encounter with a God we've only heard about, or whether that's an encounter after many years of walking closely with you, I pray this morning that we will get to know you more. And we just welcome you here now as I bring this word. Lord, we want to hear from you, not from Rose. And so I just humble myself now under your mighty hand. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you would etch your words on my heart, Lord, and that these words would be like fire, that they would light flames this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's great to be with you, and such an honour and a privilege as always to be here sharing. And welcome to the many new faces that I've seen this morning, whether they've been here a couple of times or whether it's your first time. I just want to extend a really warm welcome to you this morning. So we have been going through, or we've just started our vision series, which hopefully is really exciting, because vision, you know, is such a key part and a crucial part of who we are. You know, the Bible says that without vision, the people perish. And as a church, we want to have a strong vision that we're able to all come under and know and follow, that defines who we are as a church family and a body. And Ben and Peter started last week with talking about where the church has been in the past, what's happening in the present, and where it's going in the future. And I'm just going to recap that briefly. And we started, Ben introduced the four core promises last week, the four core promises that God has always had for his people. And we find them first in the story of Moses, when the Israelites are led out of Egypt, but they're throughout the Bible. Now, I'm going to put those of you that were here last week on the spot. Can anyone remember the four core strategies, or what we call them? Know God, get free, find purpose, make a difference. A star. Well done, guys. So that is our take on the four promises. And I'm just going to recap those four promises before we move on. So we will pick up the story of Moses leading the Israelites out. We'll use those scriptures. And it's Exodus 6, verse 6 to 7. And it says, "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." So in there were the four core promises. And from those core promises, the Jewish people, then in their Passover celebration, translated those into four cups. And those four cups that represented the four promises was the cup of sanctification, which is about salvation. It's about knowing God, what we call know God. And it's the promise of salvation, the fact that he will bring you out. And then the next one is, I will free you from being slaves to them. And that's the cup of deliverance. That's about freedom. And we call it get free. And then it says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And that was the cup of redemption, which is about restoration to him. And as we're restored to him, we find out our true purpose, what he created us and who he created us to be. And we call that find purpose. And then there's the cup of praise, which is, I will take you as my own people. And that is about fulfillment. As we become fulfilled in our life that he created us to live, then I can guarantee you that as we find our purpose and we outwork that, we will make a difference. Because our Father God is advancing his kingdom, and he is using us to do that. And he needs us to make a difference in this world, to be the light in the darkness. And what I love about this scripture, and I find really interesting, is it gives those four promises. And then at the end it says, then you will know that I am God. You know, it's only when we start that cycle of understanding the promises that God has for us that we truly get to know God, that we truly start to encounter him. So I want to encourage you this morning, wherever you are along that cycle, let's keep going. Let's keep, you know, seeking God for more, because as we do, we then get to know God more, you know. And he says, then you will know that I am God. And also, I just want to say that it's a cyclical process, this. Whilst you only encounter salvation once you're saved, you know, you're saved, there is an element of going back around this cycle and finding out elements of salvation that you didn't grasp the first time, of getting more free, of seeing more restoration and finding more purpose, of seeing more fulfillment and making more of a difference. You know, our God is a God of more. And unfortunately for most of us, we have many layers, a bit like Shrek. And so the first one, he strips back, we know God, we get free, we find purpose, we make a difference. And it's like, oh, there's another layer. And I don't know about any of you that have been on the journey longer than me. I'm probably 10 serious years into it. I've kind of known God since a child, and I'll share a bit of that. But I am astounded at the amount of layers I have. I'm like, yeah, I've got free, I've found purpose. All right, there's more. Okay, so these aren't just strap lines, okay? We don't want know God, get free, find purpose, make a difference to just become some strap line. These are the core promises of God's word. This is about discipleship. This is about who we are. And so I just want to really put that forward now, that everything we do, we want to put through these lenses. We want to make sure that we are being disciple makers, that we are helping people grow in their faith. And we see these four core promises as the key to that. And, you know, in our journeys as disciples, because we are always followers, we are always disciples, we are always learning from the teacher, we never get to that place of perfection. So in our journeys as disciples, but also the journey we go on with others to disciple them, we ask you to keep these four core promises in mind. And, you know, focusing on these four keys focuses us as a church on discipleship. I've said it before, one of the things that I've loved hearing this year that really just challenged me was that we are not called to build church. Jesus says, I will build the church. We are called to make disciples. We have one job, to make disciples. And, you know, that's what we want to really focus in on. And that's why we're bringing these four key strategies into the heart of all that we do. Okay, and I just want to say at this point that there are many of us on different parts of this journey. For some of you, this is completely new. And we just want to say that we are here for you this morning. If this is completely new, we are here for you. And we want to introduce you to the Miracle Maker. And for some of us, we've taken a step. And for some of us, we've gone on a journey and we're now on the edge of diving deeper with him. You know, there's many different places that we find ourselves. But we are all on a spiritual journey. Even if you don't know that you are, we all have a spirit. And so we can't get away from the fact that we are on a spiritual journey. You know, there's always going to be questions and there's always going to be a longing inside of us that says, God, what have you got for me? Because we were created to be in relationship with him. And we're going to hear more about our spirits next week in relation to Get Free. But I just wanted to say that this morning, that we are all on a spiritual journey this morning. Okay, so we're going to look at know God. I'm going to move that out of the way. Ah, my wonderful husband's going to come and do it for me. Ah. Okay. So, know God is the part of the scripture that says, I will bring you out from under the yoke. That's it. I will bring you out from under the yoke. Not get cleaned up and then I'll bring you out. Not get over that addiction and then I'll bring you out. Not sort out your mental health and then I'll bring you out. Not sort out your sickness and then I'll bring you out. I will bring you out. I will bring you out from under the condition that you are in. Yeah? No conditions. I will bring you out. How amazing is that? You know, there are many of us here this morning that have been bought out and stand here thankful that he didn't put any conditions on us, because we wouldn't have come out. He's bringing you out from under the bondage of slavery. And he's saying, come out just as you are. Just as you are. And he says, you know, that he says, I will bring you out from under the yoke. And I want to say that that yoke that was there, that they saw, the Israelites saw at the hand of Pharaoh, is very much at work today. That same spirit, that same demonic spirit, that same slavery that we saw back then at the hand of Pharaoh is at work in our world today. And I'm going to give you 3 points that show us that that is still at work. And first of all, the Israelites were forced to be slaves. Pharaoh took this people and he made them slaves. And you know, when we don't know God, when we're not in that place where he's brought us out, we often feel enslaved. And John 8, verse 34 to 35, in the Message translation, which is a paraphrase translation, says, Jesus said, I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is, in fact, a slave. A slave is a transient who can't come and go at will. You know, when we're in the world and we haven't been bought out, then many of us can feel enslaved and trapped. And that's, and when we talk about being enslaved, it's being controlled by a dominating influence. That can be money, that can be sickness, that can be social media, that can be the way that we look, the way that we dress, comparing ourselves to other people. That can be addiction. I could go on and on, you know, but sometimes when we don't know God, we can feel that enslaved, that controlled by a dominating influence, that we feel trapped in this life that wasn't quite what we had planned. And then secondly, Pharaoh saw that the Israelites were flourishing, saw that the population was growing, and realized that if it continued to grow, they could definitely uprise against the Egyptians who were keeping them slaves. And so he ordered the murder of all the newborn boys, of all the baby boys, and he had them thrown into the Nile. I'm sorry, really chirpy subject this morning. But you know, he murdered those baby boys to stop the growth of the Israelites. He killed off their potential, the potential that was in them as a people. And I want to ask this morning, what have we carried? What potential that we have that the enemy has killed off? You know, what have we carried in its infancy and the enemy has killed it off? And when that happens, when we feel our potential is stopped, when we feel like we've lost something that we were carrying, then you can feel empty. You can question your meaning. And then thirdly, they were slaves and they were made to work the day in the mud pits making bricks. And as they continued to flourish and Pharaoh sought to break their spirits even more, he extended the weight of the work that they had to do. So they went from having to make the bricks to having to actually go and collect the straw that they made the bricks from as well. So they had to do the same amount of time in the mud pits making the bricks that they'd always done. But then Pharaoh made them, on top of that, go and get the straw once they'd finished the day. So he extended their working day. He put a heavier burden on them to make sure that they remained broken and under his yoke. How many of us get tired? How many of us have a life that we feel we just can't fit everything in? You know, how many of us actually can feel enslaved to busyness? And, you know, this happens to those of us that know God as well. It's easy for us to get busy. And, you know, it's easy for us to feel completely exhausted. And as I was studying this and looking into it, Chris Hodges, someone who uses these core promises and teaches on them, he said that rest is not about inactivity, but the condition of your soul. You know, when you've been bought out and when you do things through him in his strength, then that's when the exhaustion lifts. And so this morning, whether you know him or not, if you're feeling exhausted, it will most probably be because we're doing things in our own strength, because we've fallen back into works rather than relationship. Okay, so this cup of sanctification that we're talking about is very much an Old Testament Jewish Passover, you know, Jewish tradition. So how does this link to Jesus? How does this link to the New Testament? Jesus made it very clear in what he said that he was the one who came to bring us out. And in John 10, verse 10, he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He's taken us from being stolen from, and he is taking us out to have life to the full. And then Romans 8, verse 11, this is in the Message translation as well. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. He took us, he brings us out from being dead to alive. And 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 4 in the Message says, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and that future starts now. He takes us from a place of hopelessness and brings us out into a place of hope. And God says this morning, I want to bring you out. I want to bring you out. And I feel this morning that there are people here who need to hear those words. He is saying, daughter, son, I want to bring you out. And for some of us who know that, who know what it is to be brought out, then this morning we want to take hold of this message and be intentional about helping others to be brought out. We don't want to keep what this amazing joy, this amazing privilege, this amazing honor that it is to have been brought out and to know God to ourselves, amen. We want to see those around us get to know God too. And you know, often when we're in this life, we can stand back and go, how did I get here? How did I get here? I'm living a life that I didn't intend to live. And I know for me, many of you know my testimony, but I'm going to share a little bit for those of you who don't. And then, you know, I was brought up by my mum, who I just want to honour now, who has faithfully encouraged me and asked me to consider God and to go to church for all of my life. And is the reason that I'm here today. And my mum, at a very young age, brought me to church and taught me the ways of God. And at a very young age, I did definitely make some commitment to God. But as a teenager, the pressure of peer pressure, just as a teenager processing the divorce of my parents when I was younger, as you start to process that as a teenager as well, I just kind of left this life and left God and went and did things myself. And you know, as a teenager, you think you know it all and you've got it all right. Turns out I didn't. I was really, really wrong. Made quite a mess and ended up, you know, in an abusive relationship and lots of wrong decisions and stuff that cost me a lot, that cost me a lot personally. And I became sick as well as a result of that. And then there was a moment where I got called out, truly called out, you know, where I stepped out of everything that I had been enslaved in and where God called me out, and I have never looked back. My life since then has just been transformed, and I stand and look back at it now and say there's no way I could have done this. There is no way I could have done this. You know, everything that I have and everything that I am and that I'm called to be is because he brought me out with no conditions. He didn't clean me up first. You know, he did that after, and he's still doing that. Okay. So if you stood there this morning saying, or sat there this morning saying, you know, how did I get here? I didn't quite mean to be living this life. And I just want to say this morning that you don't have to clean yourself up first, you know. He is here and he's saying, I will bring you out. Don't worry about the rest. We'll sort that out afterwards. So how do we get out? What is this salvation that Christians talk about, or being saved, or being a Christian? How do we drink from that first cup of sanctification and experience that first promise? Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of us can boast about it. So I want to say this morning that salvation, that being brought out, is a gift from God, that he does it by his grace. But there are things that we often have to do in order to receive that gift. And I want to just touch on 3 points that probably any person in here that would call themselves a Christian would say, yeah, I had to go through that process. And you, the first one is make the move, is say, yeah, I want you to bring me out. And in the Bible, we call that repent. And repent means, it means literally to turn away, to change direction. So you're turning away from your old life and saying, God, I'm turning to you and I'm asking you to bring me out. It's turning away from the sin that enslaved us, from the things that we did that didn't measure up to the glory of God, and saying, God, will you help me? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 to 18 says, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. And this morning, he's calling us out as a father to his sons and daughters. He's saying, come home. Come home. And the second thing is that we need to let it go. There you go. I knew someone would. Let it go. We can't not have that without Frozen, can we? But you know, another word that we would often use and that we find in the Bible and that we talk about is surrender. Is surrender. You know, if you are on that journey to being bought out, very often you will find, in fact, I think for most of us, that there is something we're probably going to want to let go of. That there's some stuff that is enslaving us that we're going to have to let go of. And surrender is about saying, do you know what, God, let your will happen in my life. You know, I've tried on my own. It's not gone that well. This is my prayer. Lord, I'm just giving everything to you. I don't want to touch this anymore. I've made a mess. And very, very quickly, God, in my surrender, was able to transform my life, particularly, you know, in the area of relationships, which is where I'd messed up the most. Within 3 months of my total abandonment moment of saying, God, whatever, even if I can't have children, and those of you that know me know I've got four, and you know, if there's one thing I know that God's always called me to be, it's a mum. And so for me, that was a big thing to give up, to say, God, everything. My desire to have children, everything, I give it up. And 3 months later, I met the lovely Ben, and the rest is history. And now we look 4 kids older than we did when we met. Okay, and the third point is commit your life. Commit your life. You know, this is not about religion. This is not about works. This is not about joining a church club or an organization. This is about relationship. You and him, relationship. You know, it's about changing our allegiance from our old life to him. It's about assigning our allegiance for the rest of our lives to him. And we are effectively, willingly offering ourselves as a slave to him. You know, we come out of slavery into slavery, but let me guarantee you this, that as you become a slave to him, you will never have known freedom like it. Amen. We willingly offer ourselves to the one person who was willing to die on a cross for us. Like I said in my prayer, no one else offers that. No one else offers to pay for our sins. You know, and so in return, we offer all that we are. We give our allegiance to him. And in Romans 6, verse 19, it says, just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. So those are the three steps to the start of the journey and the next three promises. And you know, as a church, that means that everything we do, we want to run through this lens of know God. And that means that with the ministries that we have, if you're a ministry leader, we want to just ask you this morning, how are you helping people know God? You know, how are we doing that? And as leaders, we will be coming alongside all of our volunteers and ministry workers to look at how we can make sure that we are offering the opportunity for people to know God, for people to be bought out. You know, and that is about embedding this as a strategy and as a way forward for us. But also, it's about our hearts. You know, being a people who are not in a club, who are not here just for each other, but who are here for a lost and hurting and broken world. And I just feel this morning that God is saying, let's turn out. Let's look out. You know, let's look to those who were in the condition that we once found ourselves in. You know, because that is why we are here. We have one job. What's our job? Make disciples. Okay. We can't be focused on doing church. We've got to be focused on those who need him. The rest will work itself out. Okay. So I just want to touch briefly on evangelism at this point, which is a very Christianese word, but it's the word we use for someone who is called to take this message to the world in an anointed, in a gifted way. And it's a fivefold ministry gift. Now, if you look up the fivefold ministry gifts in the Bible, prophet, evangelist, apostle, teacher, and pastor, what the Bible says is that the person who carries the gift is the gift. Yeah, so when you're a fivefold ministry gift person, you are the gift to the church. And, you know, very often we talk about making disciples in terms of relationship, building it up over time, because for most of us, that is how we will be a light to people. But there are people in here now who have an urge to share that message of hope to anyone who'll listen. There are people in here that constantly feel a nudge from God to go and speak this message of hope. And I want to say that if that's you this morning, you are probably called as a fivefold gifting evangelist. And this morning, I just want to call out that gift. There may be some people who have pressed that down. There may be some people who have felt, oh no, I can't go and share like that. Or someone said something that has made you think that it might not be right. Well, this morning, in the name of Jesus, I just want to call that gift to life in people. And if God is commissioning you this morning as an evangelist, then I want to ask God, will you light that fire this morning? Because we need you. We need all five gifts in the church. And so this morning, if that is you, I want to encourage you to speak to somebody afterwards. There is no right or wrong way to take the message of hope. He uses us as individuals, but some of us are called as an evangelist, and we don't want to say that it's wrong to go out there and take that message to the world. You know, a lot of us will do it through relationship and we'll do it over time, but that is not everybody. Some of us are called in a different way. And so this morning, I want to encourage you that we need you. We need our evangelists, just as we need our prophets, just as we need our apostles, our teachers, our pastors, and all the other spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the Bible. But this morning, I just wanted to mention that. And I believe that God is wanting to commission evangelists for this new season. And for the rest of us, Lord, I pray this morning that you will show us the people in our lives that you are working on that are desperate to know God. And I pray that we would have the boldness to take that message of hope that saved us to them. Okay, so to bring this into the context of vision and to sum up and finish off, we are a church that wants to help people know God. We are a church that wants to help people know God. And we want us and those of us who have found him and who know him to be that vehicle to help more people get to know God. We want to see people saved from their current condition, from their current slavery. And practically, we do that through the ministries that we run, you know, and through the fivefold gifting of evangelists, and also through us being disciples and being disciples in our worlds. You know, as part of that, we will help people know God. Okay. And I just want to really finish by just giving a response to, or an opportunity to respond to this. And I just want to say that if you feel the call to evangelism this morning, or you feel a know God ministry being birthed in your heart, then this morning I just want to pray for you as we end. And if you are like me and just want more strength and more courage to share that light in my personal sphere, in the people who I influence through the week, I want to see more people come out from under what I was under and into the light that I now know. You know, this isn't about numbers. This is about hearts, you know, being restored to the Father. So if that's you, then I want to pray this morning for more equipping, more revelation, and more courage to take this in our day-to-day life. And if you don't know God this morning, like I said before, we are here for you. And we want to introduce you to him. And so if you don't know God this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to respond and say, yeah, bring me out. Bring me out. That's it right now. That's all he wants, is to bring you out. You know, you don't have to do anything else. The rest will come. He just wants to bring you out. And if you thought that you knew God, but actually you're feeling, maybe the stuff that I haven't been brought out from, maybe I just need to recommit to coming out with him and, you know, turning to him and repenting, then again this morning, I just want to encourage you to make a response. So I'm just going to ask us all to stand and I'm going to pray. Okay, and I'm going to ask if respectfully, if you'll just bow your heads and close your eyes so that people just have the space to respond with without everyone looking if they want to. So I just want to just pray this morning, Father God, first and foremost, that you would be here, that you would be meeting every single person in this room, because it is your desire, Lord. You pursue us. Lord, you are after our hearts. You sent your son to the cross to die for us. And I pray this morning that every one of us would open our hearts to you. I pray this morning that you would just right now start to minister to us. And I just want to say, if this morning you feel that you may have a call to evangelism, or there's a ministry being birthed in your heart to help people know God, if you will just, with every head bowed, if you will just raise your hand now so that I know who it is and so that I can pray for you. Amazing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for those hands. That's fine. You can pop your hands down. Jesus, I thank you for those people who have made that response to you this morning. And Holy Spirit, I just call on you now to come and equip and anoint these people. I pray that they would dream dreams and see visions of all that you have for them. I pray that they would find out what it is to find their purpose and make a difference as they help people know God. Lord, I pray where they are called in the fivefold gifting of evangelism, that you would commission this morning, commission them, Lord, that you would reaffirm them, that you would call them out and tell them who they are becoming in you. And above all of that, Lord, I pray that those hands that were raised will make a difference in this world for you. I pray that souls will be taken from hell and seen in eternity in heaven with you because of these people this morning. I pray, Father God, that their ministries would be fruitful. And I just ask, Lord, that you would stop any opposition that would come to their ministries now in Jesus' name. Lord, would you fan into flame the gifting and the dreams that you have put on these people's hearts? Okay. And again, with every head bowed, if you are someone who just wants more courage and strength to share in your day-to-day lives, then if you just raise your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So Jesus, we just humble ourselves before you and thank you that this is not in our strength, but in your strength, that we are able to move forward and minister, advance the kingdom of light, and see people taken out from that place of slavery into a place of life and of hope and of salvation. Lord, we can't save these people, but you can. And you use us, you choose to use us. And so I pray this morning for those hands raised. Lord, for a greater increase in our courage, in our trust of you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us words of life to speak into the relationships around us. I pray, Lord, that you would make it clear to us those that you want us to speak to. And I pray, Father God, that we would see those people that are on the hearts of those who raise their hands here worshiping with us in the future, here knowing what it is to be a child of God. Lord, I pray that they would enter into the family. Lord, I call home the prodigals as well, Lord, those who once knew you, who we have lost. We are calling them home now in the name of Jesus, because you have a purpose for them, because you have a life for them to live, Lord. So I pray this morning, Lord, for boldness and courage and the ability to know when you are calling us to speak to somebody in Jesus' name. And again, with every head bowed, if you are someone who has maybe known God a little bit but feels like you want to commit to really being bought out from all that has made you exhausted, enslaved and empty, or if this is brand new for you and you want to make that response to him this morning, then with every head bowed, I just ask that you would raise your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can put those hands down. Lord, I just thank you for those people who have raised their hands, who are saying, Lord, will you bring me out? And Lord, I thank you that you come to them now just as they are, Lord, and that you are bringing them out from under the yoke. And Lord, I pray this morning that as they take on those three steps of repenting, of turning direction, of surrender, of letting go of things that have enslaved them, and of committing their lives to you, Lord, I pray that you would meet them where they are. Lord, you have seen their response. And I pray this morning, Lord, that as they make that choice to be a Christian, that you would meet them. And Lord, we welcome them into the family of faith this morning. We thank you, Father, for those who have raised their hands. We welcome them, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you are a God who is out to save those who feel lost. We're just going to end by worshiping him. And I just want to encourage you to continue just to reach out to him and your current situation and circumstance. And if you need further prayer, then we're here. Just come and speak to us or turn to someone next to you and just ask for that prayer this morning.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself?